Denise, thank you so much for that good music. That is such a blessing in my heart. I rejoice in that. That's good. Numbers chapter 13 tonight. Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 26 through 31 for a text and jump into a very simple message tonight. It won't be hard to follow, I don't think, at all. So Numbers 13 and 26 through 31 will be our text. Give you just a second to find it. We will stand. We will read them responsively like we always do on Sunday nights, Sunday mornings. And if you join me on the odd verses here, 26 through 31. Let's stand together in honor of God's good book we're reading now, Numbers 13, 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in this land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Dear Father, thank you for this recorded event in the lives of the children of Israel. And you put it here for us in this book for a purpose. We can learn from these things. I pray, God, in this simple message tonight that you'll encourage the hearts of your people. These are your folks. They belong to you. We assemble here on this corner as a called-out assembly of born-again, baptized believers. But Lord, we all belong to you, and I want to help them tonight. I want to be a blessing and encouragement, and make me that, I pray. We'll thank you in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Now, I want to draw your, well, you know what? I'm going to read two verses here as we start into this. Let me just say, I want to speak tonight on this subject. Keep the who, not the what, in view. Keep the who, not the what, in view. Let's pray together. Dear Father, would you please help us tonight? I pray that you'll open our, help us, Lord, to come with a receptive heart. And then would you please open our eyes, help us to behold wondrous things out of your book tonight that will help us, be a blessing to us. Lord, teach us and encourage our hearts. We'll thank you for it. Thank you for your eternal word and what it means to us. Speak to us tonight from it, I pray. And I'll thank you in advance in Jesus' name. And amen. Verse number 30. Verse number 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Verse number 31. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." That's pretty opposite, isn't it? Very opposite. Now, what made the difference between what Joshua and Caleb said in verse number 30? Joshua's with Caleb there. Caleb's the mouth. He's the spokesman right now. What made the difference between what Joshua and Caleb said in verse number 30 and what the others said in verse number 31? It's very simple. The group of 10 spies had their eyes on the what. Joshua and Caleb had their eyes on the who. And you got to keep the who, not the what, in view. Okay? They had their eyes on the what. The 10 spies did. Joshua and Caleb had their eyes on the who. The 10 spies came back after spying out the land. They said, "Moses, you have no idea what we are up against. You have no idea what we are up against. The people are strong that live in the land. The cities are walled and huge. The giants live in the land. The children of Anak, they live there. You have no idea, Moses, what we're up against." They saw the problem. They saw the what. They saw the problems. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, "Moses, God is on our side. God is with us. God said we could take the land." They had their eyes on the who. People, you've got to put your eyes on one or the other. All things, all through life, we are going to face the whats. All through life. A child of God cannot go through this life with his eyes on the what. We must go through this life with our eyes on the who. The what is the problem. The what is the mountain. The what is the object that's in the path. The what is the hurdle. The what is the difficulty. That's what the what is. You can't keep the what in view. The who is the Lord God Almighty. The omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God who is unchanging in power and in person, the King of Kings and the ruler of the universe. And we're either going to keep our eyes on the what or we're going to keep our eyes on the who. One or the other. And I promise you, friend, we'd be a lot better off if we'll keep the who instead of the what in view. Now, Pastor, here's what I hear sometimes. Pastor, you do not know what we are facing. Pastor, this is what I am facing. Brother Angel, we aren't sure what we are facing. Preacher, I am afraid this is what I am facing. I hear those things. I heard that 7 days ago. 7 days ago. We're not sure what we're facing. Thankfully, everything turned out fine. But that was what I heard. We're not sure what we're facing. Now, let me say this without minimizing anybody's what? Without diminishing anybody's what? Without making light of anybody's what? Because the what's, you know, friend, everything they said about the what in the land was true. The people were strong, and the cities were walled, and they were huge, and the giants were there. They weren't exaggerating. They weren't embellishing. They weren't just speculating. They had been there. They had seen it with their own two eyes. So everything they said about the what was absolutely true. So you know what? When people say to you, Pastor, we don't know what we're facing, or this is what I am facing, or you don't know what I am facing, I'm not minimizing those what's. Because sometimes they can be huge. I'm not diminishing those, but I want to say tonight, and this is not psychological poppycock, the who is always greater than the what. The who is always greater than the what. Now listen, they come back, they tell Moses that 40 years later, zip, 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 let's jump ahead now, 40 years later, the Israelites would go in and spy out the land again. When the spies came to Rahab's house, started talking to her, they learned that 40 years earlier, the who had already melted the heart of the what, and they could have walked right into the land and possessed it. They're talking to Rahab. This is what Rahab said. Don't turn to it. Joshua 2. This is 40 years after Numbers 13. 40. She said, quote, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt." That was 40 years ago. The truth of the matter is, the God of heaven, the who, had dried up the Red Sea for Israel. The Canaanites heard of that. And the truth, friend, when Israel was camped at Kadesh Barnea, the people who lived in Canaan were shaking in their boots. They were scared to death. But through the report of the 10 spies, they got their eyes fixed on the what instead of the who, when the who had already taken care of the what. That's sad, isn't it? This is not psychological poppycock. This is what happened to these folks. They got their eyes on the what instead of the who. Look at Exodus chapter 15. Hold your place there in Numbers 13. We're going to come back there and go to chapter 14 actually in just a minute. But look at Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15 is the chapter that follows the crossing of the Red Sea. You got the crossing of the Red Sea in chapter 14, okay? In Exodus 15, Moses and the children of Israel take up a song. And man, they're going to sing. And wouldn't you want to sing too if you had been between the devil and the deep blue sea? And here came the Egyptians and Pharaoh's army. And now what are you going to do? And you crossed over on dry ground. And you look behind you and here came the Egyptian army on your heels. And you thought, oh my gracious. And then, you know, to see the waters just come back over and drown. And the children of Israel, chapter 14 ends with the children of Israel seeing all the dead bodies of the Egyptians floating in the water. And they were happy. They were singing. And they took up a song and they began to sing. Look at verse number 9. Look what it says. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. That's the Egyptians, see. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Look at verse 10. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. God made sinkers out of the Egyptians. Brother Adrian, you've been fishing this spring yet? You caught anything? You use a sinker or the catfish? A sinker. They sank as lead. Every time I go fishing and I put a sinker on a line, I can't help but think of the Egyptians sinking as lead. You put a sinker on the line to make it go down in the water. And the Bible says they sank like sinkers, like lead in verse number 10. Look at verse number 11. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Who are they talking? They're talking about the who. They're talking about the who. The who is the one that froze the waters up and put the dry ground. The who was the one that melted the waters when the Egyptian army was in there. The who was the one that covered them up, made them sink like sinkers in the water, and drowned them all. The who was the one that did all. That's what they said. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Look at verse number 14. The people shall hear and be afraid. They're on their way to Canaan. They're on their way to Canaan. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. Watch the next phrase. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall what? Melt away. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, melt away. Look at verse 16. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. And folks, 40 years after Kadesh Barnea, Rahab verified that. 40 years. Yeah, you were camped over there. And we heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea and brought you out of the land of Egypt. And what she's insinuating, we were shaking in our boots until 10 men came back with their eyes on the what instead of the who. It cost them 40 years of wandering. It cost everybody who was over age 20 their life. They died in the wilderness. Never got to go in the promised land. All because they had the what and not the who in view. Now, people, the necessary discipline when we face the what. I'm talking about the difficulty. I'm talking about the problem. I'm talking about the mountain. I'm talking about the obstacle. I'm talking about the hurdle. No matter what it may be, the necessary discipline when you face the what is to keep your eyes on the who. That takes a discipline. All right? That takes, in talking with folks, I try to make sure I reiterate this truth. The greatest battle you're going to face now, as you face the what, is to let your mind run uncontrolled about the what. You've got to discipline yourself to not get the what in your view. Keep your eyes on the who. There is a God that is bigger than the what in every hurdle. Now look, viewing the what, placing the what in view as opposed to keeping the who in view always has negative results. Turn back to Numbers chapter 14. I'm going to show you three negative results. It won't take me long to do it. Three negative results that happened as a result of these 10 spies and the Israelites putting the what in view instead of the who. The negative results. And if you do the same, if you do what they did, if you get your eyes fixed on the problem, the hurdle, the obstacle, the difficulty, then these negative things will happen to you too. All right? Chapter 14 and verse number 1. Here's the first negative result that keeping the what in view has on people. And all the congregation. This is after those guys report, so we can't go in. We're like grasshoppers in those giants. Here we go. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Negative result number 1, fear. Fear. The people's eyes are on the what? On the problem. They are not on the who, not on God, as much as Caleb and Joshua tried to get them to think and see that God's with us. He's on our side. The people swallowed the story of the 10 spies, and they lifted up their voices, and the Bible says they wept and they cried. I believe they were scared and fearful of what their fate was. Oh, no. Walled cities and giants and the sons of Anak. Oh, no. Walled cities and giants and the sons of Anak. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. They got fearful. They got scared. They were full of fear. This is a very common occurrence. Somebody says, the doctor said to me, I found something I didn't like. We need an x-ray. We need a test. It's right then. Right then. That you've got to put your eyes on the who. not the potential problem. Now look, if you don't get your eyes on the who, if you get them on the what, fear is going to grip your heart, the fear of the unknown, and fear will overwhelm you. Now here's what 2 Timothy 1:7 says, without turning to it, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That sound mind is a disciplined mind. A mind that refuses to lock on to the what. A mind that refuses to center on the problem, but instead locks on to God. Friend, keeping your sight locked on God produces a calm and stable spirit, a spirit of faith and not of fear. If you get in that situation, you have no idea if the doctor is going to call and say, hey, look, everything's fine, the test came back negative. Or the doctor may call and say, when can you come in so we can talk? And before you hear from the doctor, you don't know what's going to be. You keeping your eyes on the who, God will prepare you for whatever the what is. That's what He does. A guy says, Pastor, our company's not doing well. Our company's gone backwards. Our company's, this is down, and this is down. And the outlook is bleak. And so it's not good. All right, what are you going to do? You can fix your eyes on one of two things. You can fix your eyes on the what. And you can get yourself just full of fear and anxiety and worry. Or you can fix your eyes on God. And I'm not minimizing the problem. I'm not minimizing the difficulty of facing a pink slip or being laid off of work or having your hours cut. I'm not minimizing that or diminishing that. Those are huge things, especially to us men. Okay? But the honest truth of the matter is, fellas, you know, when you hear something like that, you don't know where that thing's going. It could be that the next quarter you hear a completely different report. Things have turned around. It could be the next quarter the news gets worse. And so you've got a whole 10 or 12 or 13 weeks to wait, and you've got a problem that you're facing, and you've got one of two things. You can put your eyes on the what, or you can put your eyes on the who. Putting your eyes on the what is going to cause you a spirit of fear. And you know what fear does? Fear paralyzes. Fear paralyzes. I've never been in combat, obviously. I never joined the service. But I've read enough books and I've read enough stories from MacArthur's stories and Teddy Roosevelt. And boy, I love Teddy Roosevelt. Was quite a guy. Quite a guy. And he became good friends with the old John Patterson who killed the lions at Tsavo when they were building that building that railroad bridge over there. Teddy Roosevelt went on the safari that John Patterson actually pretty well lined up for him. And I love reading about those guys. But anyway, I've read enough war stories to know that when those guys get in combat, those soldiers who are overcome with fear get paralyzed. They're stuck. They're literally stuck. Now, I don't know about you. And I've never been in a foxhole. I've never been in combat with live rounds flying over my head. But I would just assume that the last thing a soldier in combat would want or need is a fellow soldier paralyzed by fear. You can read those stories where they actually lost control of their bodily functions. And I'm not minimizing that because I never faced it. But I want to tell you something, friend. Brother, I'd want to be in a foxhole with a guy who, no matter what the difficulty was, he knew what to do, he knew when to do it, he knew how to do it, he knew how to follow orders, and he was able to fulfill his obligations without being overwhelmed and paralyzed by fear. You know what happens when God's people in the army of the Lord get into a situation where they face a Jericho and Canaanites and walled cities and giants and obstacles and difficulties and hurdles? You get paralyzed. You get your eyes on the what. It causes great fear in your heart and you get paralyzed. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray like you ought to. You don't trust in God. You're paralyzed. And friend, that's a dangerous thing for every Christian. You don't want that to happen. That is a negative result if you get your eyes on the what instead of the who. That's exactly what happened here to these people. Fear is the result of getting your eyes on the what instead of the who in a difficult situation. Fear. That's the first negative result. Second negative result is found in verse number 2. Look at it here. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Second negative result of getting your eyes on the what instead of the who is bitterness. Bitterness. These people, they murmured, they complained, they lashed out against Aaron, they lashed out against Moses. Their spirit was filled with bitterness, and they sought for someone to lay the blame on. Moses, this is your fault. Aaron, this is your fault. And they actually turned on the Lord. Why did God bring us out here? What in the world? Yeah, we were slaves down in the land of Egypt, but at least we were safe. We weren't living in danger and fear of giants and walled cities and everything. They were angry and they got upset with the ones they thought were at fault for them being in that situation. They got their eyes on the what. Had they kept their eyes on God, they would have remained. Was Caleb bitter? Was Joshua bitter? No, they were encouraged. The situation was the same. They faced the same identical situation. But Caleb and Joshua had their eyes on the who instead of the what. And buddy, they would have remained encouraged and at least kept their hearts free from bitterness. Some weeks ago, on a Tuesday night, I was at home. And the phone rang, and it was later than usual. And that's okay if people have trouble or a problem. And I answered it, and it was one of the young men in our church, a young married man. And a dear friend, dear brother. And he said, I hate to call you this late, but I need to talk. I said, it's fine. And we began to talk. And he said, preacher, he said, I'm going to lose my job at the end of the week. It's coming. I know it. And I'm going to lose my job. And so we talked about what had happened at work and so forth and so on. And as the brother explained it to me, I don't think he had any animosity in his heart. It sounded like he had gotten the short end of the stick a couple of times. Hey, fellas, you know what? That happens. You know, Luke got a job. Luke worked at Green Tea, which is a True Green type place for a long time. Then he got a job at Estes, where Marty works, a trucking company over there. And he's really been working hard. He wants to get on full time. If he can get on full time, he's got some plans he would like to see fulfilled in his life. And so he's really hoping and praying that he can get on full time. And so he's working hard. And he said, Dad, I was making a lot of progress. And he said, I really thought I was really making progress with the supervisors. And he said, then the supervisor hired one of the supervisor's friends. And they get these loads. And he said, all the easy loads are going to the friend. And he said, the truth of the matter is, I'm getting these loads that are difficult. He said, I'm doing my best. I'm working hard. Sometimes you get the short end of the stick. Anybody always gotten the long end? So this brother was talking, and it sounded like he got the short end of the stick. And he said, he talked to him for a while. And I listened, and he said, I just wanted to talk to you. I said, okay. I said, brother, here's what you got to do. You got to go in, and you got to work hard, and you got to do your best. And don't get mad at your supervisor. Don't get angry at anybody. And don't carry a chip on your shoulder. If they're going to fire you, you let them fire you going out strong. You keep your head up, and don't you get an oh, woe is me little attitude. You go in there and you bust it, buddy, and you do the best you can. And the only one that can change their heart is God. And so, I can't remember, I think we closed in prayer. We may not have, but I think we closed in prayer. And I told him I loved him, and I do. And I just prayed, Lord, help him. And so he went to work. The company had been planning an awards ceremony to just award those that had done well. And there was a co-worker of the man in our church who was responsible for a skit. He was supposed to put this skit on at this award ceremony. And, kind of a motivational type thing and fun and humor. And he wanted to use the man in our church in the skit. But they kept saying, he's not going to be here. He's not going to be here. He's done. And then finally, toward the very end, the supervisor gave the co-worker clearance to use the man in our church in the skit. The man in our church sitting here tonight jumped in, both barrels blazing. It was a humorous thing. They did the skit. People were laughing. It was hilarious. The whole place was in an uproar. And he didn't act like he was going to be fired. He didn't carry a chip on his shoulder. He wasn't ugly. He wasn't bitter. He knocked the ball out of the park. The supervisor went to the vice president at the close of the motivational award ceremony and said something like this: we've got to find a place. We're going to keep this man. We're not going to let him go. If we have to find another place to put him, we're going to put him. That man, not only is he getting a transfer to a different place, he got a $500 bonus. Hope he tithed on that, amen. But anyway, a $500 bonus. And, I hear that story when he was telling me that story, and I just rejoice. Oh, that when you face a what, if you get your eye on the what, and the what is the short end of the stick, you're going to get bitter. You're going to get filled with bitterness and anger and wrath and ugliness and carry a chip on your shoulder and just dare somebody to knock it off. But that's not what you need to do, friend. No. Look, problems make us bitter. God makes us better. Problems fill us with wrath. God fills us with hope. Problems make us angry. God makes us sweet. Problems make us want to lash out at those that we feel are responsible for our trouble. God makes us want to do our best in spite of the circumstances and keep our eyes. Got to keep the right person in view. Got to keep the who, not the what in view. Got to keep the who, not the what in view. The first negative result is fear. The second negative result is bitterness. And boy, I'm telling you, that's a big one right there. And by the way, that resonated with every man in this room. Because, brother, nobody likes to get fired from a job. Bitterness, number three, the third negative result of getting the what instead of the who in view is retreat. Look at verse number four. Look at the end of verse number three. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Do what? Folks, they came out of Egypt. They followed the leadership of the Lord. They had overcome a lot of smaller hurdles until they got their eyes on the big one, the big what. And now they're talking about going back. They lost momentum. They lost the by faith spirit. They went backward. They lost ground and they wandered for 40 years. The problem did not create a forward by faith attitude. It created a retreat and fall back spirit. And if you get your eyes on the what, it's going to cause you to want to retreat in your Christian life. Sometimes it can cause you to retreat in your marriage. Because every married couple is going to face hurdles. Every married couple is going to face hurdles. You can get your eye on the hurdle, or you can get your eye on the who and the what, or you can get your eye on the who, and the who is always greater than the what. People who get their eyes on the what start retreating, looking for a way out. That's right. You can't afford that, friend. They start retreating. You cannot afford to get your eyes on the what. You will retreat. You remember when Peter was in that boat with the disciples and Jesus had told them to go to the other side and the storm came and Jesus went out on the water and they were afraid because they thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, "Fear not." And he said, "It's me." And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you." And remember Jesus just said, "Peter, come." Do you remember that he got out of the boat and started walking on the water? I'd love to have seen that. He started walking on the water. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink, the Bible says. Now look, folks, this man was walking on the water. He's not wading in the water. He's walking. They are out in the midst of the sea. They're out in the deep part of the sea. He's not waiting. He's not with his breeches rolled up to his knees. Wait. He is walking on the water in a storm with the wind blowing, with the waves tossing. He is walking on the water as long as his eyes were fixed on Jesus. But as soon as he took his eyes off Christ and he got his eyes on the storm, the winds and the waves, he began to sink, to retreat, to go down. The problem was the storm. The storm. The problem was the wind and the waves. But as long as he was fixed on the one who made the winds and the waves, he was advancing through the storm, through the problem. And that's what I'm saying to you tonight. If you get your eyes on the what, you get your eyes on the problem, you're going to retreat. You're going to lose ground. You're going to lose that forward by faith, spirit, and attitude. You're going to look for a way out. And sometimes the way out in your mind is to run. You can't run from problems. You can't run from problems. You can't do that. That's what David did in the Old Testament. Now I'm going to die at the hands of the Saul, so I'm going to go join the Philistines. You realize how many more problems he encountered because he tried to run from one? You can't run from problems. They'll haunt you down, follow you, hunt you down, follow you everywhere you go. You can't retreat. That's the result of getting your eye on the what. You've got to keep your eye on the who. And you know what? You may not make a lot of forward progress, but at least you won't start going backwards. Keep your eye on who instead of the what. Getting our eyes fixed on problems will call us to retreat. Getting our eyes fixed on God will cause us to advance in spite of the problem. There are three negative results when you get your eyes on the what instead of the who. It is fear, it is bitterness, it is retreat. What am I saying? I'm saying nothing good comes out of getting your eyes on the what. You've got to keep your eye on the who. Look, we sang, I didn't know we were going to sing that song tonight. It is well with my soul. You can only sing "It is well with my soul" when your eyes are on the who instead of the what. Keep the who, not the what, in view. I'm talking to folks tonight who are facing hurdles, facing difficulties, you're facing obstacles, and you've got your eyes fixed on the what. You're going to get filled with fear. In some cases, bitterness has already started to set in. And some will retreat. None of that's good. Get your eyes fixed on Jesus. He's always greater than the what. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Dear Father, would you take this simple message, just so plain, nothing that these folks haven't heard many times before, but Lord, hopefully tonight, designed by you for a specific purpose for somebody in this room. Would you help the folks? Would you help me? God, when we face the Jerichos and the Canaanites and the sons of Anak, would you help us, O God, to keep our eyes on you, keep a disciplined mind, not be full of fear, bitterness, and not retreat. Please speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name.